Undisputed Politics podcast is hosted by Robert Wilson Jr., a young Black gay activist from the Mississippi Delta. He started this podcast to share his raw and unfiltered opinions on issues around the world. Grab a glass of wine and tune into the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or any other major streaming platforms. And let's get into what's happening all around us. The show starts now.
These cops are right here. Bro, there's a shooting at the school and these cops are telling everybody to leave. Everybody's here trying to pick up their kids.
New details continue to emerge about the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. The incident on May 24th left 21 dead and 17 wounded. Authorities gave differing accounts of what happened, raising questions about how law enforcement responded as the rampage continued for 77 minutes. The Texas State Senate heard testimony on the shooting from Texas Department of Public Safety Director Stephen McCraw, whose office is conducting one of many investigations into the massacre.
There's compelling evidence that the law enforcement response to the attack at Robb Elementary was an abject failure and antithetical to everything we've learned over the last two decades since the Columbine.
So, most of the people know about the shooting that happened on May 24th of this year, 2022, where an 18-year-old young man went into Robb Elementary School and fatally shot 19 students, 2 teachers, and wounded 17 other people. So since that time, a lot has come out, and a lot of things that have come out have been very damaging and telling, specifically surrounding what happened that day, how long it took the police officers to get in the building, what did they do when they were in the building, and just a host of things surrounding that. The reason why this is so important, and the reason why, you know, I'm talking about it on my podcast today, is because well, first off, I want to make it clear that I personally did watch about 2 hours worth of the videos. I watched 1 hour worth of a body cam footage from one of the officers. Then I watched about 25 minutes worth of another officer. Then I watched some surveillance footage of a camera that was in the school on one of the hallways. So I've kind of watched enough to be able to give this the opinion that I'm going to give today. And part of what irritates me the most with this particular situation, you have so many people in this country who allow the police, who love the police. Everything is about the police, 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 guns, 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 protect and serve. What happened? Because in this particular instance, from all the video footage that we've seen, from all the reports, from all the comments that we've seen, from all we've heard from parents, from all we've heard from the people who survived this particular incident, that was a failure. Flat out. Period. From what the footage that I watched today, you would be surprised at what you saw. The footage that I saw today, just think about how they shot down Jaylen Walker in Ohio over a traffic stop. They shot him down the way they shot him down over a traffic stop. And when you put that into perspective and you think about how they did what they did in this school shooting, you would be just absolutely aghast, pissed, because I am. And the reason why I'm pissed is because when they first, just going through the video footage and looking at the body cams, when they went into this school, they had ample opportunity to bust up in there the same way they bust down doors to go kill black people. They have no problem busting down doors to go kill black people. They have no problem busting down doors to go arrest black people. They have no problem breaking down black people in their cars, busting windows to get in the car, dragging people out of their cars. They have no problem with that when it comes down to black people. Yet somehow, in this particular school shooting, they had a problem. They were scared. They wanted to wait on a supervisor. They needed keys to open a door. They couldn't bust the glass out. They were scared to do this. They were scared to do it. We have to wait on this. We have to wait. So many excuses. And for me, I'm going to take it back all the way back to January 6, 2021. And I distinctly remember that day. I was at home. I was just watching TV and how things unfolded that day. Just watching how things unfolded. It was tragic. Watching all those people going to the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol building. Nooses being hung up. People shitting on walls. People screaming death threats towards elected politicians. People running around with Trump flags, sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk, doing all type of crazy ass shit. And then I thought about how in 2020, when all of those riots were happening, and you had so many people getting on TV screaming, hooping, and hollering about how black people shouldn't tear up their own communities, how black people shouldn't do this, how black people shouldn't do that, how we should express our anger and all of this stuff when it relates to the anger that black people have about the way we are treated in this country. And yet, somehow, through all of that, yet somehow, there are legit people who have the nerve, the gall, to tell us that certain things like, oh, well, we should have more police officers in school. At one point, as you just heard from the sound bite that I just played for you, at one point, there were at least 19 officers in that school at one time. And it took them over an hour to make sure this man was down after he had them killed 19 kids. Two teachers. Come on now. And so to be somebody who does the work that I do, to be somebody who is out and about, who's preaching to the choir and telling all the people vote and do all of these things and all of that good stuff. This is particularly frustrating. It's particularly irritating because it's like we're going through the same things over and over and over and over and over when it comes to black people in this country. And then to see constantly mass shooters get treated like they're the president of the United States, basically. When they get arrested, they take them to get something to eat. When they get arrested, they making sure they straight. Sometimes when these mass shooters are killing people, they literally are putting bags and things over their head to make sure people don't, you know, see these people's faces and their identities. Like, come on now. But somehow, Jalen Walker, George Floyd, hell, Sandra Bland, Breonna Taylor, these people have to die for crimes that are innocent until proven guilty. They haven't even been proven to have committed a crime yet. Meanwhile, you have proof that this man literally done shot up these kids. You have proof of that. You know that. And yet, somehow, everybody was scared to go in there. All the officers were somehow scared. But there's so much energy, so much madness, so much anger towards black people. Yet somehow these domestic terrorists, and I'm not going to say white because there are some that aren't white. I'm just going to call them domestic terrorists. Who just run up in these schools, run up in Walmart, run up in churches, run up in grocery stores, and they killing people and they getting arrested, getting something to eat. They getting to see their trial, getting to write manifestos and have people talk about their manifestos. But black people, all we get is a funeral for crimes that haven't even been proven. And so when it comes down to all of this hooping and hollering and back and forth, from the perspective of somebody that does this work, I'm angry. Now, from the perspective of somebody who's worked with children before, who's actually been in schools, many people know I did a program called City Year, and I worked in Memphis, where I worked at a middle school and a high school. And we did work around attendance, behavior, and education. I tutored 8th grade math. And during that time, that was during the time when the Columbine shooting happened, if I'm not mistaken. And there, a lot of the students were frustrated, a lot of the students were tired, and I get it. I understand where teachers are coming from. Teachers are paid. They don't get paid for the stuff that they have to go through. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not a teacher, just imagine being a teacher and you have your own kids at home. Imagine having to go to this school each day. You're having to worry about lesson planning. You're having to worry about making sure that 20 kids are mentally and physically prepared when they come into your classroom. You're having to worry about whether or not these children are adequately getting the lessons that are being taught. You have to worry about your own children at home. You have to worry about your finances, making sure your bills are paid. You have to worry about the things that are going on at the school. You have to worry about, literally, every day you go to work, you have to worry about whether or not you're going to make it home, because possibly a school shooter could come up in there and kill you. And so, when people talk about all of these things and, we should arm teachers and all of these things, come on now. Teachers already have enough on their plates. They have enough on their plates than for us to be giving them guns and them having to make the choice of, do I want to shoot out this door? Because I can already tell you what will happen. This is exactly what will happen. You give a teacher a gun and two things will probably happen. I'll say three things. You may have a situation where gunman comes into the school and the teacher actually does have enough courage and shoots the gunman down. You have a situation where you may have a teacher that's mentally unfit at the time, and they'll end up shooting and killing the kids themselves, and they'll turn into the school shooter. And then you'll have this third thing. You'll have a situation where, just like in Uvalde with these cops, you have a teacher that'll just simply be afraid. that will simply be afraid and not know what to do. You will simply have a teacher that will be afraid and not know what to do. And honestly, that is more than an adequate feeling. Imagine having to be in that situation. Imagine, especially for somebody like me. For me, I don't do guns. I don't like guns. I don't tote guns. I just don't do them. So I can only imagine somebody like me being in that particular situation and having to make the decision of shooting a gun. And then I just imagine I just freeze up. The things that'll be said about me, the depression I'll go through because I wasn't able to protect my students. And so that's the reason why I can honestly understand teachers in that particular situation. And I don't want us to end up in a society where we have to do that. There are adequate things that we could do to protect our children in schools. Adequate things. Things like ensuring that schools do have adequate security. And when I say adequate security, I mean, sure, we can have police officers in schools, but let's make sure they're there to serve and protect. Schools need to have video cameras on every hall and every corner. In the parking lots, in the cafeterias, everywhere, unless it's the bathrooms and private areas. Schools need to have in place protocols for school shootings. It is clear that in this Uvalde situation, the protocols simply weren't followed. When the officers got there, they wonder who the hell was in charge. There should be a protocol in place, written down, that everybody knows who's going to be in charge when this happens, what steps are going to be taken, what portions of the school are going to be locked down, how it's going to be locked down, the amount of time it will take to get officers in there. Actions that need to be taken when officers get in there. All of these things need to be in place. And for people that say, oh, well, that's too much. Well, there are schools literally out there that already do this. There are schools out there that literally already have monthly drills and different things like that. And it's sad to say that we are in those times. But we're just in those times. And so I pray for the Uvalde community. I pray for all of the people and the families who have had to experience these mass shootings in America. It is my hope that at some point this country realizes the impact that all of this has on our children, the mental health impact, and how it will mold them in the growing up in the future. I mean, just look at all of the young people who are a part of the March for Our Lives. These kids are literally out here begging politicians right now to do something about this. And so, while we may not see change now, these children will eventually be able to vote. And so change will come soon. And that's all I can be proud about. When you think about these situations, is that you know, there are children who will be able to eventually vote and will be able to make the be a part of the change that needs to happen in this country. So that's all I have to say on this particular topic. Please let me know your thoughts in the comment section. And I'll kind of engage with you all in the comment section. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on this episode of The Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson Jr.
Hush now, child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Just move on up toward your destination, though you may find from time to time complication. And take the trip, though there may be wet road ahead and you cannot slip. Just move on up, for peace you'll find. Into the steeple of beautiful people, where there's only one kind. So hush now, child, and don't cry. Understand you by and by. Move on up and keep on wishing. Remember your dream is your only scheme, so keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey, rumors people say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
Have you lost your right to vote due to a criminal conviction? 1 in 10 people in Mississippi are unable to vote because of a felony conviction. In 2020, Mississippi had the second highest incarceration rate in the country, with members of the Black community making up 60% of those who can't vote. But there are organizations fighting back. One Voice and Mississippi Votes are committed to helping people regain their voting rights. Call 1-888-601-8683 to take your power back.
Hashtag I tried to tell y'all. Hashtag I tried to tell y'all. Many people know I have tried numerous times to tell people that Mississippi does not give a damn about Black people. They don't care nothing about us. They didn't care about us in the 50s, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and hell, they don't care about us now. There are still laws on the book where they don't care about us. Look what we had to do to get medical marijuana in the state. So that tells you all you need to know about Mississippi. Then we just, the same time we got medical marijuana, we had to vote on a civil rights, a civil rights legislation that was in place to keep Black people from winning statewide races. And then we recently just changed our state flag from having that racist Confederate symbol in it. So when you think about Mississippi, they don't give a damn about black people. So you know they don't give a damn about no Emmett Till. And it's sad to say, and it's a hard pill to swallow, but I'm willing to tell people the truth. I live in LaFleur County, and I've discussed this on plenty of my episodes before. I've talked about my family lineage to the Emmett Till family. I've talked about how I've grown to know about the story of Emmett Till and all of these things. And I've told people numerous times. See, I do activism work in the community. People call me up when they need help with, they may have a situation going on with the police and all of these different things. I've donated money privately to people who maybe having get out the vote events and different things like that. I've helped political candidates, all type of things. And so I'm active in the community. And I've been approached by several different people. Well, Robert, you know, you live in LaFleur County. We see all the work that you do. We would love for you to, you know, be the face, or we would love for you to get out and do this or do that in relation to the Emmett Till case, because Emmett Till deserves justice. And to preface what I'm about to say next, Emmett Till absolutely does deserve justice. But he won't get it in the state of Mississippi. He won't get it from the federal government. He won't get it at all. Because America has showed us who they are. We just got the Emmett Till anti-lynching bill passed. The amount of times that bill was brought forth, the amount of time that bill died, is a disgrace. But we finally got it, and it's finally the law of the land. But Emmett Till was murdered in the 50s. We're all the way in 2022. It took us that long to get an Emmett Till anti-lynching bill. So that tells you all you need to know about this country. And for people who say, well, Robert, you know, you got to be more optimistic. And the ancestors, well, they did this. They did. Yes, they did. But when this country has showed you who they are, there's no need to continue wasting your time on things like this. Because they've showed us they're not going to arrest this woman. They've showed us. And so, things that I'm focused on in relation to Emmett Till is ensuring things like making sure that everybody has their right to vote. Things like making sure black people are allowed to live in whatever neighborhood they want to live in, attend whatever school they want to attend. Things like making sure that black people are able to drive in whatever neighborhood they want to drive in, wherever they want to drive them at. Can shop in whatever stores they want to shop in, wherever they want to shop at. Because those were the things that impacted Emmett Till. And while we may not ever get true justice for Emmett Till in relation to Carolyn Bryant taking her ass to jail, there are substantial things that we can get to ensure that black people in this country are not living in the same life that caused Emmett Till to be killed to begin with. Most people know the story, and it's been confirmed that by multiple sources within the family and witnesses and people who were there that evening that Emmett Till did whistle at her. But it was more so because he was from Chicago. Chicago at the time wasn't as racist as in the Deep South. Certain things were just not accustomed in the Deep South at the time. And many people to this day may say it's not okay to whistle at a woman. All right. Still, that gives no right for him to have been murdered in the way that he was. Period. And so, of course, I definitely believe Emmett Till deserves true justice, and he deserves it now. But America has showed us who they are, and he won't get it. That's just my thoughts on it. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Everyone has something to say, a story to tell. We make it easy to share yours. So let's talk.
Regardless of your podcast setup, hit record. And from there, whether your podcast reaches 10 people or 10 million, we can help you get heard wherever listeners are.
And who knows, maybe even quit your day job.
But no matter who hears you, it's about connecting and sharing something from your perspective.
It's about having a voice and using it without anything standing in your way. Say it all with Anchor.
Trying to transition in the show, the next thing I'll be talking about is Kim Burrell. And Kim Burrell made some comments, and y'all know how I feel about Kim Burrell. So if you seen me on social media, and you know how I talk on social media, you've seen some of the posts that I've made over the years, you know I do not like Kim Burrell. I haven't been a fan of her ever since she made those anti-gay comments a couple of years ago. And we'll get into all of that. So I'm going to play this little clip and let y'all hear her comments, then I'll share my thoughts on it.
Gotta choose up. Find you some value. You know, sometimes before we get friends, we have to do an interview. How long have you been broke? How many times have you changed your name on your light bill? How many of your bills in your little cousin's name? Do you live in a trailer home or a house? You know, you understand. And it's not about status or material things. It's just about choices. You know, life is different now. And, you know, we are at church. Thank God we're here. Those of us who walk in by faith without a mask and no vaccine. And so, we honor the Lord. God is good. I respect all of the men of God here and respect you. Can y'all clap so I don't feel strange right about now? Hopefully we'll get a chance to meet each other when y'all invite me to come to your church. I'm not as expensive as I seem. And so, I don't know, maybe you got a little left over from your PPP loan. Prayer, praise, and power. You understand. Amen. Isn't the Lord great? Amen. Amen. And so, you know, I like coming here because the ground is already tilled with great personality like Dr. Karn. Because one thing I love about him, he's deep in the word, but he knows how to have great humanity. And most don't understand his personality because he is truth personified. And he tells the type of truth that makes most uncomfortable. Because who likes to be told you're just ugly? No one likes to be told that, you know, especially when they have realized it. All right. Most don't get offended until they know the bad thing about themselves. And then somebody else recognizes and says, oh, I saw the ugly too. I just want to let you know. So anyway, y'all get that later. God is great. All of you are beautiful. I haven't chosen anyone to be ugly yet. God is good. God is great. Y'all look great. Most of you have on hats covering most of that anyway. Here's to you. I have a great personality. Okay, I'm going to sing. Daily I shall.
So, Kimberia, y'all know I do not like Kimberia. Kimberia is one of the many people who influenced me to leave the church. And I'm going to tell my story. I'm ready to tell my story. I'm going to use this episode to tell my story. I'm ready to tell it. Kim Burrell, and the reason why she's one of the people that has influenced so many people and people like her, the reason why they are people who have influenced people to leave the church is because they fake the funk. They fake the funk. They pretend that they are holier than thou. They quote all the scriptures. They sing all the songs. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, their hearts are not as pure as what they present. And that is why so many people are leaving the church. When you think about what churches are supposed to be, church is supposed to be a safe haven. Church is supposed to be a place where people go and they experience the goodness of the Lord. The sanctuary, at least. And when I say church, and just to differentiate that, for a lot of people, when we say the church, that is what we mean. We're talking about the actual physical sanctuary. Because for me, I never left church in relation to leaving the presence of God. I have church in my living room, even before I started back going to an actual physical church, even though I don't currently go physically, I go virtually. But even before I started going back to the actual sanctuary and the presence of being in the voice of a pastor and all of that, and, you know, being a part of an actual program and all of that stuff, I would just sing in my living room, pray, read my Bible, all of the things that I would do on a Sunday at church. And for a lot of people, that is what they are having to do. A lot of people are going through this situation where they're trying to grapple with, do I want to go and be amongst these people that are faking the funk? Do I want to go be amongst these people who are standing in the pulpit telling me about my life, telling me, oh, I shouldn't be gay. Oh, I shouldn't spend my money on this. Oh, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do this. But then turn around and they like Hannah Montana out here in these streets. They living double lives. Turn around. These same people telling you you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, you should live like this and you should live like that. These are the same people who are out here raping children in the church. These are the same people who are out here DL and having down low relationships with members of the church. These are the same people who are out here having intramarital affairs. These are the same people out here who are stealing money from the church. These are the same people out here who are out here cussing and enjoying their life and smoking weed and drinking and stuff just like everybody else doing. But on Sunday, they brand new people. On Sunday, they all about the Lord. On Sunday, they are higher and higher than anybody else. They are more than anyone else. And their spirit is more connected to God than anybody else on Sunday. See, people like Kim Burrell. And the reason why I don't like people like Kim Burrell is because people like Kim Burrell, they get into these positions where they somehow feel like they have some type of power over people. And they feel like the words that they come out of their mouths are the only things that can be true. See, the God that I serve is a loving God. And I've gotten from a lot of activist friends that I made, that I have had, they don't necessarily agree with God. They don't like that. I have friends who are atheists. I have friends who are Muslim. I have friends who are Jehovah's Witnesses. But one thing we all respect about each other is that we all understand that while we may serve a different higher power, we are all connected in that we are all on this earth together. And so while their religion may say, me being LGBTQ and I identify as gay, while their religion may say, Robert, it goes against it, I understand that I have to live with you here on this earth and that all of our gods are loving gods. And so despite wherever I think you might go when you leave this earth, I still must love you while I'm here on this earth. And so people like Kim Burrell, who have the nerve, the unmitigated gall to get up in these sermons and to get up in front of churches and say things and call people ugly and talk about people getting PPP loans and all these things. Exactly where in the Bible does God talk about that? Exactly where in the Bible does God give you credence to call people ugly? To talk about the amount of money that's in people's bank accounts? To talk about things that have nothing to do with you? And then, as soon as you get done saying it, you start singing. You start claiming that you feel the Spirit and God told you to say those things. No God has told you to say those things. Not the God that I serve. The God that we supposedly supposed to be serving together. Because we apparently agree in the same God. And the God that I believe in and the God that she proclaims that she believes in says that you are supposed to love everybody. And so that's why people in my age range, millennials, have decided that we no longer want to participate in those shenanigans. And you have a segment of people out there who say, well, nobody's ever going to run me away from the church and you can't run me away from the goodness of the Lord. And like I said, where people mistake us at and where people mistake the perspective is that most people haven't left the goodness of the Lord. Because I know for me personally, I never stopped believing in God. But what I did do is I stopped allowing myself to be in a situation where people like Kimberell would control me mentally, would make me feel bad for living in my authentic self. People like Kimberell would get up on Sundays and talk about people being gay and give all of these outlandish opinions about people being gay and then turn around and say, oh, that's of the Lord told me to say that. The Lord told me to spew out all this hatred. The Lord told me to tell you was going to hell. The Lord told me that you should die in a lake of fire. The Lord told me that we should stone you to death. That's what the Lord told me. And then also turn around and say that they love the Lord. And then also turn around and tell you that their Lord is a loving God. And so that's the reason why so many people in my generation in particular have finally come to a point where we just ain't got time to deal with people like Kimberell. This generation is so much into mental health and different things like that, that we protect our mental. We would rather sit at home and praise the Lord in our living room before we go to a church and allow people like Kimberell to send us into deep depression. And so that's just that on that. Kimberell has come out with an apology. And let me pull up her apology real quick and I'll kind of read y'all the apology. The apology was full of crap. And she also went live not long ago, and the live was also full of crap, where she also tried to, you know, fake the funk on the apology and all of that. She also tried to fake the funk on the apology or whatever. She tried to fake the funk on the apology, and I wasn't here for the apology because the apology was just crap. She apologized, and then after she apologized, she immediately went into a rant about people slandering her name and all of this stuff. And so she said in the apology, as a kingdom citizen and a woman of integrity, I can acknowledge that some of my words, even if said in jest, can be offensive. You think? My intention is never to hurt anyone, but to spread love, laughter, and more importantly, the gift which God has given me in song. If anyone was offended, I sincerely say I apologize. With that being said, the irony is that those who are criticizing my statements are displaying the very thing they have accused me of. However, it has not been humorous or in jest. My image has been used in multiple places, and false statements and narratives have been created. The punitive damages for some are quite lofty. Please be mindful of what is both written and said via video about me, especially if it contains untruths. Slander and defamation are not taken lightly, especially if it affects my name, image, and brand. Those pages where invalid comments and false narratives have been created have been reported, noted, and hopefully silenced. Again, I will apologize if anyone thought that my humor was malicious, but I will not understand, under any circumstances, tolerate harassment, slander, or for my character to be defamed. Now, that's just bull crap. You didn't say that in jest. You didn't say it. You were happy you said what you said. And that's my problem with a lot of people in this day and age with cancel culture and all of this other stuff going on. See, I don't believe cancel culture is real. I believe that people should just be held accountable. And if you want to call it canceling, you just call it canceling. But I feel like people should be held accountable. And most people who are held accountable, if they are held accountable the proper way, they usually come back, and they usually come back with the appropriate feelings, and they come back having learned something and all of those things. Best example I can give is Tammy Sawyer. For most people that don't know Tammy Sawyer is a politician out of Memphis, Tennessee. She ran for mayor a few years ago, and pretty much what they did when she ran for mayor, you had people who, of course, now she's changed her views a little bit and all of those things, so she's more in favor of gay rights and all of these other things. And so you had people who went and found old tweets from way back when, and they was like, oh, she said all these homophobic things and blah, 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 blah. And so what she did, she was running for mayor. She bought in LGBTQ people. She heard their stories. She sat with them. She listened. And you can tell by the things that she does, the way that she walks. You can tell by the way that she puts forth bills in the Memphis, the Memphis Shelby County government that she's a part of. The bills and the things that she advocates for, you can tell she's changed. And so that's what I mean by accountability. I don't believe in, oh, well, we should counsel people, they should never get a job again and all of that stuff. But we should definitely hold these people accountable. You shouldn't be able to get another job until you can prove to people that you have changed the way you are. Kim Burrell should not be standing in front of nobody else's church until she can prove that her mindset and her viewpoint and the way that she carries herself as a Christian has changed. So the churches that invite her, and if you attend a church that invites her to speak, you should be upset that she was invited. You should be questioning the leadership of that church. Why would we invite somebody to this church who have said such negative and vile things toward our LGBTQ brethren and sisters? We should be upset that this church has invited somebody who set up in a pulpit and called people ugly and talked about people getting PPP loans when she has herself gotten a PPP loan. We should be upset about things like that. And we should challenge churches. We should challenge the leadership on why they would bring people like her in to speak and be a part of and sing and fellowship with the church if she has not changed her ways. And so, that's my thoughts on it. I don't listen to Kim Burrell music. I don't deal with her at all. I really didn't even want to talk about her on my show today. Thank y'all for tuning in to The Undisputed Politics with your boy Robert Wilson Jr. And we'll be back next week with an all new episode of The Undisputed Politics podcast. Continue like, sharing, and all of that good stuff on social media and listening on all of the major streaming platforms, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Thank y'all, and we're out.